It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A much-anticipated review of the Jerry Sandusky child molestation case has cleared Republican Governor Tom Corbett of suggestions that he slowed the investigation for political gain. But State Attorney General Kathleen Kane says she still sees flaws in the investigation, namely that Sandusky could have been brought to justice sooner. Ms. Kane, a Democrat, seems to be openly inviting speculation on how the investigation was handled. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Penn Live and Patriot News opinion page editor John Micek. John, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, how are you? Good to talk to you again.
Likewise. So this long-awaited report launched by State Attorney General Kathleen Kane has found no evidence that the Sandusky case was slowed for political purposes. What is her conclusion based on?
This is based on interviews with personnel in the Attorney General's office, people who are involved in the case, and she found that there was no direct evidence that now Governor Tom Corbett had slowed the investigation, or in fact that he'd made any substantive decisions directly involved in the case, that it was directly delegated to his frontline prosecutors.
Now, does not finding evidence that then Attorney General Corbett dragged his feet for political gain in the Sandusky investigation mean that Attorney General Kane doesn't think there was any and that they just didn't find it?
What she was saying yesterday, and Jeff Moulton, the very experienced prosecutor who handled the probe for her, they found no evidence of slow dragging on this case. You know, there's some already saying, well, just because they didn't find it doesn't mean it ain't there. But as far as Attorney General Kane are concerned and Mr. Moulton are concerned, there was no evidence of slow dragging on the case.
Was there any sense that you had or have, John, about Kathleen Kane perhaps being a little frustrated at not finding the smoking gun, especially when in her campaign ads for Attorney General 2 years ago when she was running, she made a point of saying that I'm going to look into this and by gosh, without coming right out and saying it, I'm going to find that there was impropriety here.
Well, I have to imagine I have no insight into her psyche, but I have to imagine after a zillion hours of investigation and however many hundreds of thousands of dollars it took to pay for this thing, that it might have been a little frustrating that there was nothing there. On the other hand, Mr. Moulton said that these sort of exercises can also be worthwhile in post-gaming investigations. Because, one of the key findings, Paul, keep in mind, was that even though there is no evidence of political slow dragging on this, that there were inexplicable delays and waits in the report and people who weren't talked to when they should have been talked to and interviews that weren't conducted when they should have been conducted and charges that weren't brought when they should have been brought. So there's a whole lot of post-scheming going on in the report. And to my way of thinking, that should pose larger problems for Governor Corbett as he runs for re-election than accusations of politicking.
And I would really like to get into and unpack all of this, and we'll do that during the course of this conversation. But let me ask you this. If we read between the lines, and you may have just summed this up, but what is Attorney General Kane really saying here?
Well, I asked her about that yesterday. I said, well, does this paint a picture of a guy who properly delegated his authority to his line prosecutors, or does it paint a picture of a guy who was detached from the day-to-day operations of his office? And she said something really interesting. She said, well, I can only tell you how there'd be 50 different opinions on how to do your job as Attorney General, and I can only tell you how I would do my job as Attorney General. On the other hand, it's up to the voters to decide what kind of Attorney General they want, or on the other hand, what kind of governor they want who used to be Attorney General who's running for re-election in the fall. It was like the great parenthetical of that that never got said.
Now, Ms. Kane did, however, come right out and say that the investigation led by Corbett was flawed and that Sandusky could have been brought to justice sooner. So the big question here is, why did it take so long? What can you tell us about the backstory here? Kind of take us through the timeline, if you would, John, based on what the Attorney General's office knew. When did they know it? And how did this all unfold? Because it ended up, in the end, taking years to bring Sandusky to justice.
Yeah, I don't have the report in front of me right at this moment, so I can't go into great depth. But what I can say, and this is what I said a moment ago, is that there were key people who were not interviewed when they should have been. She found that the governor, well, then Attorney General Corbett, was correct in bringing a grand jury to investigate it, but that grand jury was not given the resources it needed when it was needed to sort of pursue the investigation. And that, you know, they knew as early as 2009 about what was going on with Mr. Sandusky, but did not bring charges against him.
How striking are some of the simple things here? You pointed this out in your piece yesterday. That, you know, had investigators known, for example, and this seems incredible, the apparently the simple step of asking local police departments for information about Sandusky was not taken.
Yeah, I mean, those are one of the things that they bottled him for quite thoroughly yesterday. Was for, you know, for the basic sort of simple interagency cooperation stuff that's supposed to go on. For whatever reason, you know, that didn't happen.
So. Kathleen Kane is saying here there are a lot of ways that this investigation could have been improved. That is one of them.
Yep.
And John, as you've written, one problem has replaced another for Governor Corbett as a result of this investigation.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. As I said a moment ago, I mean, I think voters sort of expect politicians to play politics, but they expect governors to govern and to manage. And to the extent that, you know, Attorney General Kane left open questions about the governor's competency as a manager or his administrative style, I think that poses, you know, some problems for him. You know, you got Democrat Tom Wolf was running 20 points up in most of the early polls, and that could end up being an issue down the road.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. I'm talking with Penn Live and Patriot News opinion page editor John Micek about yesterday's release of a report by the State Attorney General's Office into the Jerry Sandusky investigation, and. Wasn't Corbett in a kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation? Aren't there, John, also a lot of people in central Pennsylvania who feel that Corbett went too far and got Joe Paterno fired? Isn't he blamed by some for that?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. The late Coach Paterno has his legions of defenders in the State College area. For as many who thought that now Governor Corbett was out to get him, there's still, you know, polling numbers. If you look at the Quinnipiac poll, I think from 2013, who also think that, you know, he didn't do enough to investigate the case and to get Sandusky off the streets.
And one of the things that the critics of the investigation, the people who felt that that Tom Corbett should have been more aggressive, came away or might come away with. Is disappointment over the conclusion reached by the Attorney General Kathleen Kane's investigation that campaign donations from the Second Mile, the troubled youth charity that apparently served as a source for Sandusky's victims, that it did not have an impact on the conduct of the investigation?
Yeah, as my colleague Donald Gilliland very ably wrote this morning's paper, if you don't like Tom Corbett, you're still not going to like him today. If you think Kathleen Kane played politics, you're still going to think she played politics, and everyone's going to pretty much remain on side.
Well, this is kind of a head scratcher. If the Second Mile made campaign donations to Tom Corbett when he was running for governor, and here he is as Attorney General basically investigating Second Mile, investigating Sandusky, how does someone arrive, and I realize that maybe all we can do is speculate at this point, but how does somebody arrive at the idea that this does not impact the conduct of the investigation?
Money drives politics, and all we have is the report in front of us saying that that's not what happened, that interviews and evidence sort of led them that way, and that's the conclusion of the report. But yeah, I mean, you can sort of endlessly Monday morning quarterback that stuff.
So at the end of the day, as you have asked in print, what's worse, not playing politics or looking like you've mishandled the biggest child sex investigation in maybe the nation's history, even if it resulted in a guilty verdict?
Yeah, and that's going to be up to the voters to decide. I mean, let's keep in mind that the end product here is that the monster was taken off the streets for the rest of his life. So, you know, we as a society are measurably better for that. But, you know, as they looked at the conduct of the investigation, was it possible this guy could have been taken off the streets earlier? Maybe. If they'd gone after him too early and lost, would he have skated? Maybe. And you know, these are sort of like difficult questions to grapple with, and they're going to be the ones that voters are going to evaluate, I think, when they head to the polls in November.
Can you turn this Rubik's Cube a little bit, John, and maybe look at it or wonder why people wouldn't give Tom Corbett some credit here? You know, the fact that it's almost like, to use a sports analogy, it's almost like an offense that at the end of the game plays conservatively to kill the clock and make sure that the other team can't make a comeback. Go ahead.
No, which is what Governor Corbett and his partisans have been saying all along, that if they went after him and lost on one victim, that would have been the end of it. That they wanted to very methodically, and because sex offender cases are what they are, where they're almost always a multiplicity of victims, and the guy and the accused offends more than once, that by building up a watertight case against him, they were able to end up with the result that they did, which was like 40-some-odd counts of child sexual abuse that put him away for 30-plus years, and for a guy who's 60-something years old, that ends up being a de facto life sentence. You could say that this is a very conservative to mirror the sort of the tenor of the times 4-4-2 offense, but and that's what Governor Corbett was saying all along.
You know, so in a sense, is Corbett sort of the opposite of the Teflon politician here? That you know, does it seem odd that nobody is willing, you know, other than the really staunch Corbett supporters and the people that are loyal to him, that nobody outside of that circle seems willing to give him any credit for playing it conservatively and locking a man who, by all accounts, was a monster away for what will clearly or almost certainly be the rest of his life?
Yeah, I mean Jeff Moulton did give the governor some credit for that, and he said a bunch of times yesterday that, you know, this ended up being a successful prosecution, and that the process that they went through, even though it didn't result in some gigantic scandal, was a worthwhile exercise because it's going to result in better prosecutions down the road.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Penn Live and Patriot News opinion page editor John Micek about yesterday's release of a report by the state attorney general's office into the Jerry Sandusky investigation. We can take your emails and your tweets. Email address ESSPGH@WESA.FM. On Twitter @ESSPGH. Follow the conversation @EPLive. If you have a comment or question for our guest, John Micek, in the few minutes that we have remaining with him. Many people have questions about this case, but I think the biggest thing now as we move on, John, from this is, what does this do to Governor Corbett's reelection bid?
We've been dancing around it for the whole conversation here. If you don't like Tom Corbett, you're going to still not like him. And again, it took the issue of politics off the table, but threw, you know, the issue of his competency as an administrator onto the table, which could conceivably be a whole lot more complicated.
Now, there's also some worthwhile speculation to be looked at with regard to Kathleen Kane. In many ways, the attorney general's position can be looked at as a stepping stone to the governor's office. We don't know for sure what Kathleen Kane's political ambitions might be, but she clearly is a very capable office holder. So then the question becomes, what are her ambitions and how could this possibly help her or affect her down the road?
We know she's not running for governor this year, which is about the only definite thing. We had her in for an editorial board meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we couldn't even nail her down on whether or not she planned to run for a second 4-year term, let alone U.S. Senate or Congress or something else. She's focused on.
Were you thinking she would answer that? Were you thinking she would answer that question, John?
What's that?
Were you thinking she would really answer that question?
You know, hope springs eternal, Paul. We were doing what we could. I mean, to at least nail her down to running for a second 4-year term. We didn't expect her to declare for the White House in the room that day, but we figured going for a second 4 years might at least be something. Her prestige has taken a bit of a dent over the 18 months or so of her administration. You know, there are people who got on her for failing to pursue the gay marriage prosecution. There are people who got on her for failing to pursue that sting down there in Philadelphia against those corrupt officials. So, you know, her rep's taken a bit of a dent. And, you know, if you think Kathleen Kane played politics with the Sandusky Report, you're probably still going to think Kathleen Kane played politics with the Sandusky Report. If, on the other hand, you think she was justified in going after Tom Corbett and was therefore a hero of the progressive movement, your opinion probably is unchanged.
What about Tom Wolf? Unless I've missed it, I haven't heard a whole lot. I don't think we've heard a whole lot from him on this. What is his? Has he made any public comment on this?
I have not seen a public statement from the Wolf campaign yet.
If you were advising him on this, how would you? What advice might you give him?
Oh, well, that's well above my pay grade, Paul. Far be it for me to advise the Wolf campaign.
Just thinking that maybe he's probably been given some advice, perhaps to just kind of lay low at this point. He's got the 20-point lead, so maybe at the end of the day, he doesn't really have to say anything.
No, I mean, this is one of those things where I think the debate will speak for itself, most likely.
Any other fallout? Before we wrap this up, is there any other fallout we should be thinking about from what we heard yesterday? I mean, this has been something that has been, you know, the investigation of Jerry Sandusky by Tom Corbett is something that has been speculated about for years. We know what we heard from Kathleen Kane during her campaign. We know what we've heard since she's taken office. And now this long-awaited report has come out. So where does everyone go from here?
I think, for me, quite apart from that, it's the light that it sheds on process and, frankly, just how important it is to be vigilant when it comes to the safety of children and to make sure that there are no gaps in the chain that can lead to what Ms. Kane called inexplicable delays.
We've been talking from Harrisburg with Penn Live and Patriot News opinion page editor John Misek. John, as always, we appreciate your insights and your time. Thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul, my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Coming up, tackling misconceptions about addiction with Shatterproof founder Gary Mendel. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.